Hi, Kate.
For the first time in forever, there'll be music, there'll be light. I'm going, I have buck teeth. Why didn't you tell me? Now's a good time for Invisaligns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I cut my own bangs.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. I don't know.
That's why they look terrible.
I don't know what I'm about to do with this hair right now. I was talking to my brother on the phone or on FaceTime last night, and somehow he got the like perfectly straight, like Nordic hair, and like it definitely hasn't had a haircut in a while, but his hair looks great. And I've got these like straggly curls that are like hard to control. I was just like, fuck you.
I love the curls. This is what I would do. I would hold it and put some sea salt, and I would tease down, and I would create just go big.
Go big.
Shave half and go huge.
Well, it already is sort of, because it was shorter on the left side than it was. So it's just hard to
tease
control.
It. Tease it straight to Jesus.
Welcome to Haircare Tips by Ryan.
I cut my dear friend's hair a week ago or so, and I did not do a bad job. If you're listening, Claire, that might be the haircut I'm most proud of ever.
Fair.
But to be fair, Claire has got that kind of hair that like it's just never ending. It's like
sure.
it requires like it's the kind of thing that like you put the hair elastic around it once and it holds. Like it's that thick. It's very forgiving. Mm-hmm. Anyways, enough about Claire's hair. By the way, check out Claire Moore. It's called Plants and Provisions. She's I'm really excited about her new project. It's not a new project. She's been doing it forever, but she just finally is putting more stuff online. She's a local culinary genius and herbalist and yoga teacher, but she's got some products going online. Follow her on Instagram, Plants and Provisions. And I honestly wouldn't push that if I didn't actually. She's one of those people. I'm like, put it online so I can buy it. And she's like, fine. Hey, what you doing there, Frankie?
We have a guest host today.
We do. We have a guest host. Her name is Frankie Finan. And she's congested. We're wondering if we have the Rona.
Oh, no.
But how's everybody out there doing? I wish we could. Oh, my God. Next week.
Is it next week? Yeah. So this will go live on Sunday. So that means that a week from Saturday, is that right? How do calendars work?
I don't know, but we have a live event that is happening
on the internet
on the 18th. And if you're an Unrolled listener and you want to join us live and interrupt us to actually have a conversation, that's what's basically going to happen. It's basically,
yes,
what?
100%.
Zoom call. It'll be a capped number of people, and it's going to be an open, larger conversation.
Yes.
Where you can just actually join us, because I got some feedback the other day, and so grateful for it. I got an email that was like, you know, so many times I want to press the upper right corner of the button of my screen and just talk back to you guys. And now's your time to do that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So Down Under Yoga, I think it's under events Down Under Unites.
Yes. I'll put the link in the show notes, and we'll blast it out on our various Instagram feeds.
Yes. So now's the time to troll us.
Indeed. I will also probably put up something where if you have like specific topics and questions, we'll maybe put that out there a couple of different ways just to see if there's some general topics you want us to tackle in this live
format.
So how are
things? How are you doing over there?
The many stages of quarantine emotionally, intellectually, physically is just fucking fascinating. I had a new one yesterday that I hadn't had before. I had the completely unable to focus on anything.
Yep.
Like not like I couldn't even like put on like a TV show to zone out to. Like I couldn't even focus on that. Like
yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a fun one that I hadn't experienced. Before that, I was experiencing more of the an oscillation between the can't get out of bed and the one of Fez's friends who's a therapist coined the manic defense, where you just sort of like you're just finding things and projects and shit to do to just distract you from the
the fire ant phase.
Yes. Are there other distinct phases?
No, I want to unpack the one you were just talking about, because that one's been really interesting to me.
The manic?
No, the
unable to focus.
Yeah, that's been a big one. A dear friend of mine asked what I'm reading, and I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't read and I can't write. And even television shows that I used to find solace in as like just background noise, I'm having trouble with those too. And I was talking to my therapist and she's like, well, everybody's nervous system is very different right now, is responding differently. So what used to be, it requires more now to entertain.
Yeah.
Because if you're already sort of up at a pitch and the news is like enough of a, then like your distractions have to be up at a different pitch too.
Yes.
So I am just finding it like that is why I'm really noticing how drawn to the news I am. And it's because it's the only stimulus that is like juiced up enough to like meet my nervous system. That's, you know, like what's more juiced up than the fucking truth that's happening right now?
Yeah.
Nothing. So if we think of it as in terms of like the, you know, nervous system variable.
Yes.
No fiction can trump this. Unless I want to put on like, you know, a reality series about like how we took 300 babies and put them in a basement somewhere in like Connecticut in the 80s. And like various things that happened to the babies in the basement, like something would have to be so terrible
that that it caught captured your or met the fever pitch of your
Okay, so yes, I totally agree with you on that one. Like I just, my reading, I've been able to like read a poem every now and again, which I actually brought one to read during Unrolled today. It's from Galway Canal's book, When One Has Lived a Long Time Alone.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll go out on that poem.
Oh, yeah, it's a doozy. and I haven't had the manic thing yet, though. I feel like I could really use that. It would help me do some dishes.
it's not necessary. At first, it feels really pleasant because you're like, oh my God, I'm getting all... And then it's like, well, at least I very quickly realized that this is a neurotic response. This is not like, oh, let's do some things around the house and take care of shit. This is the distraction today, is rearranging my room 12 times or, scrubbing the floors and wiping down every surface a million times or, you know, what was the other thing I did? Oh, I organized like a bunch of stuff on my computer, like just anything that I could do to like be occupied. That was like I continue to cycle into days of that sort of manic approach to dealing and
Yeah, I get that one. I could use it.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm going so hard in the other direction. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me and everyone, but it feels so similar to when I was in like really depressive states. Like it feels like ancient and terrifying.
Yeah.
And I also reflect on how very difficult this can be for people in recovery.
Yes.
Because oftentimes people that are in recovery from a substance, you know, either have underlying trauma or other comorbidities or whatever you want to call them. Like they've got other stuff that the substance abuse was a tool for self-management of that pain. And right now is just a really vulnerable time for those people. And, you know, I just want anybody that's listening that is in that space to know that you're not alone. And if you feel like things are reverting, and even if you haven't like picked up a drug or a drink or whatever, but you still feel like in that space, you're not alone and this is totally normal. And just be, you know, take it seriously, like reach out for help. There's meetings online. There's teletherapy. If you need to have more sessions in a week, do it. Like whatever you need to do to stay sober, do it right now. Cause this is a really, really high pitched time for people in recovery and people with mental health stuff. Like turn up the volume on your self-care. And again, give yourself more and more and more slack. Yeah. All you have to do, like the thing that's keeping me alive right now, and I know this sounds so dramatic, I don't give a shit because this is dramatic. Like the only thing we have to do right now is, you know, stay fed and get in the shower. And if you have a kid, just, you know, keep the kid fed and clean and happy, and like just let go of whatever story you're telling yourself about what you're supposed to do at this time.
Yeah.
That's my PSA. I just had to get it off my chest because that's what I have to tell myself. I don't like, that's what I'm telling myself every day. It's like, hey, I'm waking up and I'm sober and I got my baby fed and I'm fed. Mm-hmm. And because this is hard. And if God forbid you had anything else going on in your life when this happened.
Yeah. I think it's also been interesting, and this has been difficult to, has kind of made it difficult to teach the asana classes, is that the asana is not the thing that's not the thing that I'm finding to be helpful beyond just like being able to, you know, having had enough experience to go, oh, my back doesn't feel so great today. Let me do a couple of things to address that. And then I get back to various meditative, reflective, and sort of, for lack of a better word, prayer type practices that are helpful because they do. It's both this interesting thing of the sort of more contemplative practices I'm finding are much more able to hold the sort of roller coaster of emotional experience than doing, you know, the sort of vigorous asana practice, which there's usually like one day out of the week where I'm feeling like that's appropriate, does feel kind of like an escapist act. And so I'm just trying to find and like the interesting thing is like, I am not actually able to communicate some of those practices to people because it is not, I just don't feel comfortable communicating some of those, the practices that I've been doing. There are people out there and I can list like, Lama Rod and, Lama Justin have put together this like month-long practice, sort of quote-unquote intensive through their sort of new community that they're trying to start around a sort of modern expression of tantric Buddhism called Bhumisparsha. And so they're offering a lot of the practices that I've been finding to be helpful, and not putting any like precursor on it. Like, you don't have to have sat like millions upon millions of hours of meditation to be offered some of the practices that they're discussing over the course of the month. But it's interesting because I had sort of already reached deep into the memory of my past experiences to pull some of those practices back out. And then I got a link from them, and it was like, oh, how interesting that these are the practices that are being spotlit in this weird time.
Are you going to share a link?
Yeah, I'll share a link. It's just bhumisparsha.org, but I realize the spelling of that is not necessarily distinguishable. But if you go to lamarad.com, you can make your way through to that. So I've been trying in terms of teaching to just offer more like even less in the way of physical instruction and more in the way of a sort of just to come up with an interesting set of instructions that can be applied to a multitude of postures, and to just try and repeat those instructions throughout the class so that it's less of a step by step and more you know, the way that my teacher Tom often teaches is in this, you know, when you see it on paper, it looks like a step-by-step set of instructions, but my understanding is that they're more in the realm of like aphorism, where it's not necessarily meant to be taken in this like very distinct linear way, but just this like very well thought out set of reminders. It's been interesting because I do have a couple of classes where there isn't a class coming in to the Zoom, like right after me. And so I'm able to converse with the students a little bit without having at the end, without being worried about getting kicked out of the room. And it's funny because with some of these classes, like as I'm talking into the void and looking at the like Brady Bunch screen, it's like in my mind, I'm like, this isn't going well. I bit off more than I can chew. They're not understanding this. This isn't. And then I get to the end and I'm like, please, I know that was different than what we normally do. Just, you know, let me know how that felt, what worked, what didn't work. And getting, you know, surprisingly good feedback from it, even though I am seeing the numbers like drop off as I continue to teach the class.
Right? Isn't that the That's weird.
Which totally could be people like popping it, because I've gotten messages being like, I just like, I'm gonna pop in and take as much of the class as I can until I get interrupted and then I hop off. So it could totally be.
No, it is that, but it's also people that are like, no, nope. No, and I don't mean that like specifically to you. I mean,
yeah.
One is, I've done that myself. I've been like, I really need to take class, and I'm like 10 minutes in and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
And then I've seen it happen in my class where, I don't know, I was doing like, you know, that sort of pseudo asana dharma talk where I got chatty and I was like, oh,
there they go. Just jump it off.
was like, yeah, that number has adjusted. You know, and that is a really interesting to see thing to see live, because people are empowered to leave in a way that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than otherwise. But I, you know, I've been working with this hip injury I've now had for going on 3 years, almost 3 years. And, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can to avoid surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't do some of the stuff that I can normally do because, A, I don't have, you know, some of the childcare I need to go to the physical therapy place, because sure. You're not allowed to go in with other people anymore. And I just,
yeah.
So, you know, I've put a pause on that. And after I've noticed, like, I've been in a lot of pain, and I was really trying to reflect on what's different. And then I was like, oh God, it's because I'm taking the classes that I'm teaching.
Yeah, there is an expectation of demonstration that is not present.
And it's not, this is not, I am going to very quickly need to find a new way. And I just feel such pressure to, like, you know, I make a point of, like, if I'm teaching a heated flow of, like, not doing this, you know, you know, not doing some of it, but I don't know. And I, you know, I teach a hard class, so I'm taking a hard class. And then I think, well, this feels like a radical disruption of my practice versus my class. You know, this, like, brings into sharp.
Yeah.
Contrast, like, okay, well, I can't teach a class that's called Power and then share my actual class.
Yeah.
Because that would be really confusing for people.
Yeah.
So I basically have been teaching Forest for Power.
Fair.
Which to me is, like, the healthiest thing I can do right now. It's like, okay, well, if this class is about generating heat, we're gonna practice being in a shape for a while.
Yeah. Though the interesting thing about this just popped into my mind. Like, the interesting thing about Forest yoga, well, apart from the issues with the creatrix, as it were, is that, like, I remember very distinctly, like, what you're saying is like, you are sustaining the posture for a significant amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and there is a heat, for lack of a better word, that is encouraged. But I remember, and I may have talked about this on the podcast, but I remember a couple of summers ago, and I'm going to get all sad because there will be no P-Town. I was in P-Town, there was like just shitty yoga all around. And then I saw someone that I recognized from having come to Forest workshops at Back Bay on a schedule somewhere teaching Forest yoga. So I was like, okay, so I'll go there, because at least I know, like, I'm not getting myself into, like, some ridiculous flow class. And so I went. It was a lovely class, but halfway through I was just sort of minding my own business, and then I looked around and everyone is, like, struggling, like, really, like, just that heat that I remembered. And then I'm just sort of sitting there like, oh, like, the drama, some of the drama is psychosomatic in that practice. Like, it doesn't actually need to be heat building. I don't actually think that is inherent in the stylistic choices that are being made. I think there is some psychosomatic group drama that encourages an over-efforting in the class.
Well, okay, devil's advocate. I think that that could be totally true, what you've just described. I also think when you're new to forest, it really is new for your body to be doing that for a long period of time.
Sure. That, yes.
And like now, I'm sorry, but you have the muscle memory of that. So if I went to a forest class now, I would have probably been like you. Like, oh, this isn't as dramatic because your body's like, oh, we're doing that thing.
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe when we're seeing people struggle, it could just be that they're like in that early part of a forest practice where it is like, oh my God, I've never had to hold dolphin. And now I can like live in dolphin.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why that is. Dolphin used to be something that I'd go into, and 30 seconds in, I was like, nope.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so do you think it's possible that it's just like you're stronger?
I mean, I think that's part of it, but it was very clear to me that, you know, the other part of it was that teacher wasn't like the language around the effort that is needed was different. And I think that's what it's really a conversation of effort. Cause when you look at, you know, certainly with any physical practice, there's going to be a muscle memory thing where it gets easier. But if you have this sort of mythology around how hard or easy it's supposed to be, you can get yourself into a sort of tangle. Because I do think part of the reason why, you know, this comes up all the time with you know, we're just told things about particular techniques or particular postures, and sometimes we do find that to be true in our experience, and other times it goes unexamined. Like the most sort of famous one in my mind is Ujjayi Pranayama, the breathing with sound, and I have found that there are four benefits to Ujjayi Pranayama in my experience. One is that it just becomes it's just a focal point. Like the sound becomes something to pay attention to. Two is that it does create some interesting spinal integration. A la Leslie Kaminoff often talks about this. Three is that it's helpful in elongating the breath because you're making the tube smaller so that the same amount of air can go through, but it's happening at a slower pace. And then finally, that it gives people, it is a gateway into interoception because you're having to use more subtle muscular contraction in the throat to create that Ujjayi sound. But whenever I say that to folks, they're like, but what about the fact that it's heating? And I was like, if you experience it as heating, that's totally fine. But also notice that, like, that's a story that we're told. And yeah, if you're doing Ujjayi breath with five sun A's and five sun B's, like, you're gonna get you're gonna get sweaty. But is that because of the Ujjayi breath, or is that because of the sun salutations, or is that because the combination of the two?
I mean, I guess it could be considered subtly heating because there's more friction with the air because you have a smaller hole.
Sure. I mean, but in that sense there, yes. In the feeling maybe of the air in the back of the throat, maybe. Not in a, like, you know, I just think there's all of these stories that get told about practice, and this happens across meditation, this happens across Buddhist practice, and you know, I think the more interesting thing, especially in this time where I actually do have more time to practice than I might normally have, it's like you get to, like, one of the great things is you get to be like, oh, I'm having a different experience with this technique or that technique or this pose or that pose. And it, you know, you can start to inquire a little bit into what's actually helpful in a practice setting. which like takes multiple decades in my mind to have that exploration of what's helpful. And it's also, you know, an ever changing, because our bodies age, we go through different traumas, we go through different experiences, and the tools that are helpful when you are in your mid-20s are going to be different than the tools that are helpful at a different age.
Yeah. I just, there's part of me that is very, really grateful for online teaching and getting to be creative and rethinking these modalities, but I'm also just keenly aware of this rush to maintain what is.
Yes.
In a way that it's like, well, is what people need to take a vinyasa class at home?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I like wear my heart on my sleeve. See, we have video up right now, and like I thought I had a neutral face. And then I looked at myself and I have like the exact opposite of a neutral face on, yes, which is really enlightening for me, because no wonder people are like, I know when you're upset from like 6,000 miles away. I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you know that? And it's like, cause I'm like, like, anyways, so I have no poker face is what I'm saying. I am grateful to be teaching, and it feels good to move a little bit. It also feels terrible. Like, yeah, there's part of me, and it, for me, it's difficult to suss out that part of me that wants to curl in and move less.
Yeah.
In terms of asana, not like, yeah, in terms of exercise. Let me be clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My practice does not want to be fast right now. It does not want to be hot.
Yeah.
It you know, it wants to be slow, and it's slower than normal. And I wonder how many people out there feel that way. And I wonder how many teachers that are getting up and teaching a vinyasa flow 10 times a week from their home, where they're taking way more of it than they ever did.
Yes.
I wonder how that's turning up in their bodies. And I wonder.
I am already seeing posts, not in, obviously people aren't being honest about like if they're tweaking anything or anything like that, but I'm already seeing the posts about the fatigue of doing all of these classes. And I can tell when, especially like newer folks come into the class, I can tell that there's confusion when myself or Fez, for the most part, are just like sitting in front of the screen and talking. Like, I'll go over to the mat to like show the sort of basic frame of what I'm asking, especially if it's something out of the ordinary. Like the other day, I showed, what did I have to show? Oh, I had to show the like half frog with the belly bolster. Cause like that wasn't necessarily familiar to everybody in the room. But then I would just like get up off the mat and come back and watch and instruct. And like some of that is because I want to actually see what people are doing as I'm instructing, not to like correct or anything, but just to like observe what folks are finding in the pose, at least those people who are on video. And then the other part of it is just like, I already did my practice. Like that's already in my body because I did it earlier. I don't want to do it again. It's also like from a technology perspective, I kind of have to like I inadvertently start shouting when I'm demoing because the microphone is further away from me, even though it's a very powerful microphone and they can probably hear me fine if I back up like 2 feet. It's not like my room is some like expansive cave. But I find myself like almost like yelling because I'm like reminding myself to get to talk into the microphone. So yeah, it's a weird new realm. Interestingly enough, you know what I had last week? I think we talked, occurred to me. Last week we talked, I think, about the online teacher training, and I stopped seeing those ads. Especially for the studios around Boston. And I'm not claiming that we had anything to do with that, but I stopped seeing those ads.
What do you think? Maybe
I mean, technically they can't. I mean, unless Yoga Alliance has changed, like if they're claiming they're a Yoga Alliance, technically that's not kosher with Yoga Alliance, a fully online training. Now they might be getting around it by saying like it's the Zoom call is live instruction is like, but
is yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting. I just noticed that those ads, without clicking the like hide ad or anything like that, that those ads, I did not receive as many of them this week, or any of them this week actually.
I've just seen some from some big companies that are not local.
Oh, okay. That's, speaking of big companies, that's the other thing. Did you see Tim Kelleher, who's been on the show, been a guest host before on Unrolled, and owns Boston Yoga Union, posted a thing, just like an Instagram story talking about the issue with these bigger companies now coming to market with all of their online streaming and online stuff for free.
Ugh.
And I do think that that's an issue. And I just encourage anyone out there listening, like if you're really strapped for cash, but you want to practice, like just reach out to a local studio, even if it's not directly local to you, just like reach out to an independent studio or an independent teacher and say, hey, I can't afford this. Is there any way that either for a reduced rate or, you know, what have you, that I could take advantage of some of your offerings? And I'm sure that studios will work with you to get that, especially if you're really wanting to practice with that studio, with those teachers, et cetera, instead of going to like, you know, a big company or a free YouTube site or a, 'cause let's be clear, like, I think it's great that we're getting that there are going to be all of these online and that all of these teachers are going to be technologically fluent by the end of this, you know, 12 to 18 month nightmare that we're living through. But we got to have physical spaces at the end of this. And if we're just doing, if we're just taking advantage of what's free.
Yeah, I don't know what YogaWorks was thinking.
Yeah, it was.
I think that was, and you know, I think, you know, they're going to change that really quick. I think that they didn't do that. I think that was not a thoughtful choice.
No.
They did not do that strategically. They just panicked and threw everything up for free on YouTube. I think that's what YogaWorks did.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I know that they're paying their teachers.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, but, if they didn't, I mean, they're like...
Well, they didn't like make the teachers teach and then say, oh, you can say it's good exposure.
Sure, but they would have been, I mean, they're already in enough labor trouble as it is. Like, they didn't want every market becoming unionized at the end of all of this, which I bet for them will actually be the case. That unions will start to pop up for yoga teachers, especially for all the big chain at the end of this. Because there's some really questionable, there's like, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't understand labor law, especially the weird labor laws that don't, that are like different in a state versus federal. But there's something, I don't know, there's something questionable to me about all of us, regardless of what studio we work for, recording on our own equipment in our own home. Like, and it's just there's something odd about that. Like, it just doesn't feel like a clear agreement, because it wasn't the agreement that any of us had when we signed on to work for any yoga studio that we work for.
No. And then this is what? And this is what happens when, you know, something really unexpected comes along and everybody's sort of figuring things out on the fly. And, you know, that goes for the companies, but also the yoga teachers. Like, I'm trying to cut slack to myself for maybe, I'm trying to cut slack for myself and my teaching and for other people's teaching right now, because while I am through a critical lens able to step back and say, hey, I don't know that it's healthy for teachers to teach, you know, 10 flow vinyasa, whatever classes a week where they're taking what they're teaching.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's healthy for the students. I don't know if that's healthy for the teachers. I don't know if that's healthy, if that's just perpetuating some of the patterns of unbalance and sort of exercise achievement and value and sort of aesthetics of yoga. I think we are doing some of that work, you know. But at the same time, I am guessing that there are yoga teachers out there that normally teach a vinyasa class that are, because they're practicing what they teach, are now slowing it down and maybe doing a little less and maybe feeling guilty about it. Maybe.
Let us know.
Let us know if you are. I bet you are. You know, you guys text us, email us, you know. I think it's also important to acknowledge that everybody's experience of this is so different.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, some of us, some people out there, yoga teachers, yoga practitioners are sitting there, you know, with resources and doesn't, you know, they still can have a hard time. You're still shut indoors. And you know, there's some people that are in the middle of losing their jobs and afraid about being able to pay rent or buy what they need to buy. And some people are stuck in homes in abusive relationships. And some people are all alone and feel disconnected. And, you know, a lot of people were in the middle of something rough, mourning something else, transitioning something else. And then this hit, and there's a compounded sort of discomfort and suffering happening. And, you know, not everybody, just remember, like, if it sounds hyperbolic, some of the things we've been saying, it's because not everybody is experiencing this the same way. Some people got rocked a lot harder. And I don't know. I've also been trying to, with what money I have to buy things, which currently is basically non-existent. You know, I think it's important to give money to the yoga teachers and fitness and movement professionals and meditation people that are from overly impacted communities, disparately impacted communities. So, like,
I think it's also
in Louisiana, 70% of
the You know, and well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things that that's a little bit of a I don't want to add a, like, struggle feels like too much of a word, but it's the only thing that's coming to mind. I think the thing that makes me so conflicted about the asana teaching is that it doesn't, or it's not that it can't, but the expectation is that you are leaving the real maybe this is a false expectation, but it's the expectation I feel every time I step into the asana room, that you're leaving the real, like, emotional struggle that people are having. You're leaving the real sort of mental struggle that people are having. You're leaving the real sort of spiritual struggle that people are having at the door. And because there is ample amount of time each week that I spend just kind of like mid practice, just like sobbing or like wanting to like scream. It's just like, and you know, I think part of this is the expectation. Part of it is like this weird, like, to be vulnerable on the Zoom call with, you know, 20 plus people on it, where they're not feeding back at you anything, is maybe there's a little bit of a barrier there too. But in my mind, all of those things have to be part of the yoga practice. And I just worry we're veering into escapism with asana. And like, maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but the brilliant part of yoga practice is that it can, it's not a solve, it's not a fix for all of those things, but it can hold all of those experiences. Whether you're sitting in a meditative posture, or whether you're in triangle pose, or whether you're in child's pose, or, you know, whatever. And being able to sit with those really, like, sort of those waves and upheavals of emotional shit every day is the only thing that's getting me through. So when I feel like, when I like get up and go, okay, turn your left foot out, turn your right foot in, and let's come down into triangle pose, it's like, the thing is like, yes, that's really valuable. I mean, it really is, like, doing triangle pose has been helpful, but not, it's only one dimension of it.
Lay down, feel your breath, and smash the patriarchy. And half moon.
That might be too long of a title, but I wish it could be lay down, feel your breath, smash the patriarchy, half moon. Yeah. I may have brought that to a crashing halt, but
no, it's really true.
and that's why I find myself, like, when I'm teaching, like, I, you know, my sequence is half the length it normally is. We're doing zero fancy things, and I find myself just being like, look, no one's okay, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm like, you know, my face is this close to the camera. Guys.
Blair Witch yoga.
Literally, I have, yeah, Masterpiece Theater Images Blair Witch yoga project. There is,
I feel like right before your class we need to get Laura Linney to record a hi, I'm Laura Linney and this is Down Under Yoga.
I don't understand, and it's, you know, the other side, if, let's be positive for a second. This is weird. This is a weird time to be alive.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. We're in the middle of history. Hey, you know what we don't do? We don't smash windows. Okay? we don't smash our windows. Thank you.
That's the title. We don't smash windows.
A, comma. We're in the middle of history. Should we all go to law school?
Maybe. No, I think holding the truth that this is fucked up and scary and difficult at the same time as knowing that there is the possibility of change is difficult, especially when that change is only going to be visible after a heck of a lot of death.
Gosh, I know. I have some friends who locally have been doing the drive-through testing in Rhode Island.
Have been administering the drive-through? Testing no, or have gone and gotten it. Tested. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, they have signs everywhere that are like, no cameras. And, you know, and it's the stuff of movies, just a bunch of people in full PPEs and tents outside, you know, and driving through. And I think the field hospitals, all of it, it's interesting because the numbers seem to be dropping in some ways, but, yeah, I don't know. Well, Bernie, John Prine, it's all.
Yeah.
We lost John Prine.
Yeah.
That was a huge fucking loss. We're not ending on, we lost John Prine. Let's plug my new weird class, shall we? What are you doing Wednesday nights at 9 p.m.?
Nothing. What am
I doing?
I'll
tell you what you're doing. You're curling up in bed with me.
What's this class you're doing?
I'm teaching a class called Sleep Soundly Yoga Nidra.
At the Down Unders?
9 p.m. We're going to do just a little bit of yoga, mostly in bed. You can do the yoga in bed.
Great. And, fabulous.
Yep. And then it's going to be long yoga nidra into shavasana where you can just shut your laptop or turn me off and go to bed.
Fabulous.
Turn me off, baby. yeah, it should just be called Going to Bed with Kate.
Yes, please.
Snuggle in. The sounds of my sweet melodious voice will rock you into a nourishing slumber. get the rest you so desperately need with Yoga Nidra Healing Divine Arts. Nothing puts me more at ease than the dulcimer sounds of Yoga Nidra Divine Sleep. I can't stop.
Please,
I do have a good Yoga Nidra voice.
Please deliver all of your yoga classes in that voice.
Lay down someplace comfortable. Feel your fingers. Close your eyes. Notice your head on the pillow. Yeah, don't worry. That is not what I'm teaching. But that's all you're going to hear.
Please, please, can you just record that for folks? So that you
can... Do you feel that dull, aching, dark void somewhere in the center of your body? Me too. Oh, here comes my childhood.
Please, 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 Kate. You have to record a joke, Yoga Nidra.
You're drifting away deeply into debt. If you feel a tickle at the back of your throat, begin to worry. It's probably nothing. It's allergies. Quick, have a drink of water. There you go. I'll wait. Good. Good. Oh, you've got to pee now, don't you? Get up. Go do it. Okay, you're back in bed. Good. Good. Now lay down. Is that tickle in your throat? All right, you can call your doctor and your pediatrician in the morning. I think they I think you left a half a brownie in the kitchen. Go get it. Now snuggle back in. Feel your breath. Yep, you just got your period. You should have bought those magical underwears. I told you to buy the magical underwears. You wouldn't be in this situation worrying about bleeding through your nice sheets if you had just bought the damn magical underwears. This has been Yoga Nidra. From Kate in East Providence, Riverside. Rest well.
Oh my God. It's good to laugh again. Oh my God.
Thank God at least you think I'm funny.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, I'm back.
Anyways.
I'm back.
Anyways, so now is a good time to remind you. Yeah, I got no good news, except we're going to do our best to get through this together and whatever. Whatever you're going through out there, I mean it. It's normal.
Yeah.
Reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody. Reach out. Well, this has been Unrolled.
Unrolled. Yes, it has been.
You can support us on, what's it called? Is it Patreon, Venmo?
No. You can go to unrolledpodcast.com and there is an option to support if you choose to support with a monthly or a yearly donation. Then you get access to the archive, which right now is the first 100 episodes. And then the right now we'll keep the episodes up for on the free feed for about 6 months, and then we'll shift them over to the archive. So you can go back and listen to us talk about things that are probably completely irrelevant now. One
of my quaint.
Yes. One of my favorite episodes of all time, I believe, is the, is just entitled Sake. And
I remember
So if you really, if you want a good, you want a good laugh, just, and you're a member of the, practice space, then go ahead and, try to file back to that
stocky episode.
So good. Okay. Thank you all. Next week, Saturday the 18th, whatever that is. I don't know if that's actually next week. We will be doing a live podcast through Down Under Yoga via Zoom. You can
join us live. And you can talk to us. You can ask us questions. You can call us on our bullshit. You can shoot the shit. You can stay muted. Whatever calls to you.
whatever calls to you. We'll make it work. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Lovely.
Bye. Bye.